process of everyone who has come to rally around and embrace this effort.
Pittsburgh Police spokesperson Diane Richards says the public knows the killings were horrific and they want to support the families and the officers still going through traumatic times dealing with the event. The shirts are available at PittsburghFallenHeroes.com. About 75% of the profits go to a fund for the fallen officers' families. David Kellerman, the acting chief financial officer of Freddie Mac, has reportedly taken his own life. Broadcast reports cite the information as coming from Fairfax County, Virginia police spokesperson Mary Ann Jennings. She says the 41-year-old was found at his house this morning.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voice.
This is Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning, hopefully, is our special guest from Oath Keepers. Are you there this morning?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so very much for being with us. This is Stuart Rhodes, and we're going to be talking about an organization that he is putting together called Oath Keepers, and I think it's vitally important. Certainly, there is a very real, organized, orchestrated effort to take America into a fascist society. Now, our Constitution is specifically written in a manner that limits the power of the federal government, so you would never have the ability to establish a fascist society under one guise or another, of perhaps a contrived terrorist attack or an economic crisis that's been specifically designed to create chaos in our society, or even the planting of agent provocateurs throughout our nation in an effort to try to stimulate some sort of a military uprising against our government. But there really are people at the highest echelons of our government who want to disarm the American people and take away our freedom. And so that's why Oath Keepers is so very important. So I'm going to let you pick up the story and tell us what motivated you to put together this concept, this organization, and what has been accomplished so far.
Well, myself and some other gentlemen, both active duty military and retired, looked at what's happening in our country and the gradual erosion of the barriers in government power, as you alluded to. The government has almost entirely broken all the chains that Jefferson warned us to bind down men. You know, he said, let's hear no more talk of confidence in men and bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. And there's been a steady erosion in those chains and the barriers of power and a great growth of government power, especially in the executive branch. And we saw this as very dangerous. And so we understand, as those who have taken an oath to defend the Constitution, we have, I believe, a duty to stand up and make ourselves known and to encourage our fellow oath takers to become oath keepers and make sure they understand the Constitution and know just how our goal really is to educate them as to where the lines are and to let them know how far down the road we've gone towards an entirely unconstitutional, unrestrained government.
And I think it's so important to the realization that everybody who joins the armed forces, everybody who joins the police force, everybody who certainly even runs for political office has to take an oath. And that oaths are taken to God, even though our government has repudiated the concept of God. At one time, when you went to court, you swore an oath to God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now you just swear, but not to God, to tell the truth. Well, who are you swearing to? And of course, the people, though, who entered our military, most of them are dedicated, patriotic people who love this country and are willing to risk their lives for it. And unfortunately, You know, there are people, and we're specifically talking about the people within what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, and we even have their membership list if you want to get it from us. Why? They have a different agenda. They don't believe in the Constitution. So basically, you, Stuart, you got together and you got a number of people who, you know, felt pretty much the same way, and you decided that you were going to call on the people who had taken an oath to defend America to actually do that if the people on the other side began making efforts to disarm the American people and, of course, to certainly circumvent the Constitution and establish a police state. Would that be fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, go right ahead.
The real focus on is on education. Everyone that joins with the understanding that they may give their life in fulfilling their oath. But the hard part is for them to know what is right. And unfortunately, in our public schools, and you know, most people don't learn the Constitution, don't learn their own history. And so we can't take it for granted that they have to understand what the constitutional limits are. And so as Guy Cunningham, Lieutenant Commander Guy Cunningham, as he found when he did his 29 Palms survey back in 1995, you probably recall that, where he asked some young Marines, in a survey, he asked them whether or not they would fire on American citizens who were resisting against attempts to disarm them. As he found out, I believe it was about 25% said that they would. And it's good news for us that three-quarters said they would not, but it's quite a sad statement that 25% would have stated that they would have obeyed such orders.
They would basically fire on American citizens who refused to give up their weapons in violation of the Second Amendment of the Constitution. So
right.
That was the 29 Palms survey that was done I've forgotten when it was, but actually we have that.
1995.
Right.
In fact, if they go to our blog, which is oath-keepers.blogspot.com, they can find his latest statement about his survey, because he was one of our guest speakers.
Well, tell us what motivated him to do this. Was he concerned that the people?
Yes,
he was concerned at that time.
Yes, he was concerned that as I said, that the troops coming in did not know the Constitution as well as they should, and he was concerned also about the steady indoctrination of the troops to serve under UN command. And so he asked quite a few questions in that survey, not just about whether or not they'd fire on Americans, but he also asked about service in the UN command in particular. And he was concerned, just as we are now, that although they might have the courage to fulfill their oath, that they just did not understand what was right and what was wrong. And so he agrees with us that education is the key. And in fact, now he's part of our organization. Just the other day on Lexington Green, April 19th, in Lexington, Massachusetts, he spoke about the results of his survey and how those results relate to the mission of Oath Keepers. And he also formally joined our organization. So we're glad to have him.
What about his military career? Did that influence, did that survey influence his military career?
Well, the black eye, I guess you could say, the public black eye that the Navy and the Marine Corps got certainly did not help his career. So it's kind of blame the messenger kind of thing. He asked very important questions for very important reasons, and it definitely had an effect on a negative effect on the rest of his naval career. He was passed over for commander. So he's a lieutenant commander, but he was passed over for promotion. So, you know, if you're the loose nail, you tend to get hammered.
Right. Well, that's the tragedy, is when you're in the military, if you stand up for what's right, you are going to lose your opportunity to advance. And the only people who do advance are those who compromise their principles again and again and again and again.
That's not always true, but that is the trend. And so, you know, it's not necessarily always true. So.
Well, it certainly happened to Major General Tacuba, who investigated Abu Ghraib prison, and he was told if he told the truth, that was the end of his career, and he told the truth, and he was ordered by his superiors to resign from the military. So, I mean, it doesn't pay to tell the truth. You go along and get along, which is why so many people, well, we for instance, know that when they sank the USS Liberty, The men who survived were told they would be killed if they ever dared to reveal the truth. And for between 20 and 30 years, most of the men who survived that terrible attack back in 1967 lived in constant fear and never told anybody. Only in recent years have they come forward and told what really happened and the effort to kill all those American servicemen on the USS Liberty. But you go right ahead.
No,
you need more people like the lieutenant commander who has the
courage. We sure do.
That's right.
And we had, and we also had an active duty lieutenant commander who was there and was part of our ceremony, Lieutenant Commander Gilly, and he's currently serving in the Navy, and so he was brave enough to show up in his uniform and stand up on that stage and that podium and take part in our ceremony.
What sort of response did you get? A pretty good turnout?
Pardon?
Well, did you get a pretty good turnout there on the Lexington Green?
Yeah, we did. For short notice as it was, we had between 400 and 500 people there.
That's great.
Which is pretty good considering, like I said, how close to the time of the event it was. This is an event, a rally put on by Communities of Safety, Walter Reddy of Communities of Safety, Reserve the Green, and you can go to communitiesofsafety.org and learn more about their organization. But that's who actually had the event. They just invited me to speak, and then I in turn invited everybody else in the world to show up. So, but it was a really fun time and a fantastic reaffirmation of what it means to be an American, and we consider it a very positive step.
And I think it's so important for people to understand the Lexington Green really represents the Redcoats, the British effort to disarm the American people, because of course what happened was the Redcoats were sent to Concord, to Lexington, to take the weapons out of the armory there, and the Patriots stood there at Concord, and at the bridge in Concord, and said, "You can't go, you can't disarm the American people, you don't have the right to do it." And then the shot was fired that was heard around the world and set off the American Revolution, because the fascist element within the British government was intent upon enslaving the American people. And the colonists said, "We will not allow that." So pick the story up from there.
You bet. And that's why we wanted this to be our first public gathering, because this is something that both encompasses all we're concerned about happening again, and also an example of being resolute, fulfilling your oath. I mean, all the men who stood on Lexington first and then at Concord Bridge, they were oath keepers. You know, those people who believed in what they were doing and were willing to stand firm and risk and even give their lives. And so we look upon them as kind of like the start of a great chain of guardians of this republic. And we see ourselves as taking the place, you know, humbly trying to fill the shoes, I guess you could say, of those who came before. And so we thought it was very important for us to stand on that green, same place they first, Captain Parker and his band first faced down the British regulars on Lexington Green. And with facing 800 regulars, overwhelming odds, with about 70 militiamen, he determined the best thing to do would be to disperse, you know, and move his men out, away from in front of this huge force coming down the road. And but the British officers on horseback ordered them not only to disperse but to lay down their arms, and that they refused to do, and they maintained their muskets as they dispersed. And it was then thereafter that we believe an officer fired a shot, leading to the first volley from the regulars and some return fire from the militiamen. And then after that, then they went to Concord Bridge and we're in the process of destroying munitions in Concord, or searching for them, and destroying wagons and burning some wagons. And the men of the militia companies that were on the other side of the river, on the hillside above Concord, they were convinced that the regulars were burning the town. And so they were moving down into the town to try to save the town when that fighting occurred. And in that fighting, the colonists got the better of it, and the British began to run. They were routed, and that began the march back to Boston along Battle Road, where the British regulars were harried on all sides. Just a swarm of local militiamen and local farmers who came running answered the call, and so that began the Revolutionary War. But as John Adams said, is that the actual revolution had already occurred, had already been won in the hearts and minds of the people long before the fighting began. And so that's the most important thing, is the change of mind and heart. And that's what we're hoping to do in this country, is have a change of mind and heart, and hopefully a peaceful restoration of our republic.
And I think you're absolutely right. What we need are for the people in the military and the people in the police force and the people who work for the government to value freedom more than they do, the regular paycheck, and be willing to stand for freedom, because there is a fascist element in our society. It works through the Brotherhood of Darkness that we've written extensively about, and understand that they are working rapidly today, not only to control this country, but the entire world. And, of course, we can't let them accomplish that, or freedom as we know it will simply become a remembrance of things past. Well, what sort of response? Basically, why don't you tell our listeners what the various, I think you have, something like 9 or 10 points that you ask people to pledge to support. So what are they?
Well, the first one, as you already mentioned, was we will not obey orders to disarm the American people. And we consider that the most likely flashpoint, so just as it was back in 1775. It's pretty obvious that the U.S. government has been slowly but surely chipping away at the right to bear arms. And despite last year's Heller decision, that hasn't stopped. And we now see H.R. 45, which is basically brand and track every American gun owner as though they were a pedophile. And we see a drive towards a renewed assault weapons ban, so-called assault weapons ban. And we're concerned that under times of crisis, if there's an economic collapse or whatever other crisis, terrorist attack or something, that there would be an attempt to disarm the American people en masse, like what happened in Katrina. During Hurricane Katrina, you had door-to-door searches and people being disarmed for no other reason than the fact that they were not the police or they were not the military. No private citizen would be allowed to be armed.
And how could they possibly justify that? Certainly, and you have an area where there's no effective police force, the people need weapons to protect themselves, and here are United States military or National Guard going door-to-door, taking the weapons away from people so they can't defend themselves. What sort of madness was that? Well, I think it was just a trial. I think that whole thing was a setup from the very beginning, from the fact that after the storm had passed, then the levees gave way. But nobody ever talks about that. And now they have an excuse to create the chaos, to keep any help from coming in to help the people, and then to send the military in. Even the professional mercenaries, the professional killers from Blackwater that they've hired, the mercenaries are there patrolling the streets. I mean, do we really want mercenaries patrolling our streets? Well, that's what happened. And then, of course, where was the outrage from the American people, the efforts to disarm the people who were there, who were prepared to take care of themselves? They had food. They had water. They weren't in the area that was flooded. But the military was there to disarm them. And I think that certainly shows exactly the agenda of the people in charge, don't you?
Yes, we do. But the thing is, the difference is now you have law enforcement and military thinking about this in advance. They should have been thinking about it before that happened, but they did not. And so our hope is that now, with a chance to think about it and understand that this kind of thing can happen here, that they'll next time they'll refuse.
And
that's our goal. That's our goal, is to reach as many of them as possible and make them understand that that's something that's not acceptable.
We even have posted on our website at RadioLiberty.com an interview with a captain in the National Guard, who said, I never thought I would be going door-to-door to disarming the American people. Well, maybe if he thought about it ahead of time, he would have said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to violate my oath. And if it means my commission, so be it. Go right ahead.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's what we want. I mean, the guy I can't remember his name, but the warrant officer who stopped the My Lai massacre, he did it with his own initiative. He just flew his choppers down there, and he threatened to machine gun the other troops, and he put a stop to it. And he was vilified at the time, but now looking back on him, he's praised as a hero. And so it's not necessarily, as you said, you can have some pretty serious repercussions. But the thing is that you take that oath, you take it upon yourself to make those decisions. And so if you're willing to give your life to your country, for your country, in service, you should be willing to sacrifice your career and your pension for sure, whether you're a military officer or whether you're a police officer. And, you know, if you refuse orders, it could be some pretty serious consequences, you know, including imprisonment. But it's incumbent upon you. Don't take the oath then if you're not going to be willing to do that. You know, if you take the oath, you have no choice. You know, you can't defend it. The Nuremberg defense, it doesn't work, right? It's been very, very clear. In modern times, even, and we saw this in Vietnam and also now in Iraq, where men accused of following unlawful orders, when they tried to defend by saying, "I was just following orders," it's no defense. No defense at all.
No, it certainly shouldn't be. And we've seen this recently with people in the CIA and military actually torturing people that they knew didn't have any information, but just carrying out orders. And of course, the people who did it, we're not going to prosecute them. They were just following orders. The people who gave the orders, well, we're not going to prosecute them. They had a legal justification from some Oriental lawyer who said, "Oh, it's perfectly all right to torture people, and they can't do anything to him because he was just doing what the administration wanted him to do, and we can't certainly blame George Bush, can we?" And nobody's responsible, and somebody has to be responsible, and somebody has to stand up and say it's wrong.
It doesn't make a difference whether he's Oriental or white. But, I mean, there was Jay Bybee, who's now sitting here in the Ninth Circuit, sure, right here where I live in Las Vegas. He also defended and was just a tool to justify, you know, through legal art, justify what the president wanted.
Those men should be in prison and perhaps get a little of what they inflicted on thousands, many times innocent people. You can hear their screams. And where is the outrage from the American people and from our religious leaders saying what happened under the Bush administration is wrong? And they won't do that because George Bush said he was a Christian. And after all, he was a Christian. He must have been doing the right thing. Or was he a Christian? And was it all phony? And were the entire evangelical Christian movement in the United States taken in? But let's get back to the Oath Keepers, because I think what you're doing is so important. The first one had to do with disarming the American people. What were your other points?
Number two is we will not obey orders to conduct warrantless searches of the American people, such as was done in Katrina, house to house, you know, just going through people's homes, but also as we saw post 9/11, the trend towards warrantless spying on American people by the NSA, or all these sneak and peek kind of searches with national security letters, things like that. There's been a trend now in this country. I mean, it's an uphill fight to go backwards. But we start with the most extreme example, which would be, sweeping warrantless searches for weapons and people, just a suspension of the Fourth Amendment, which is not that far off. If you look at the bad precedents that have been put in place, such as the wiretapping. But we would consider any attempt to put up roadblocks and search cars for weapons and to search through homes to be a serious tripwire. That was one of the causes of the American Revolution, was the writs of assistance, which were the warrantless searches of their day, where the customs agents can go house to house wherever they felt like and search for anything. So that they considered it a violation of natural rights and also the rights of Englishmen. And we consider such things to be violations of the Fourth Amendment, but also the natural rights of the people to be secure.
And, of course, they justify all these things today in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists who are trying to kill us, and we know that they're going to set off another terrorist attack at any time, and it's been almost 8 years, and there haven't been any more terrorist attacks. They haven't tried to close the borders. They know it's all a fraud, but they have that boogeyman to frighten the American people, so we'll go along. Or you can search everybody else's home, because, after all, you're protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's supposed to be in a cage in Pakistan someplace, or, of course, I think he's been dead for a long period of time, but you need a boogeyman, and, boy, he's sure a cage in it. Go right ahead. What are some of the other issues?
Number three is we will not obey orders to detain American citizens as unlawful enemy combatants or to subject them to military tribunal. And that's the doctrine that's been resurrected post 9/11, is this idea that you can treat American citizens as though they were on a foreign battlefield, as though they were in Afghanistan or Iraq, and, you know, strip them of their Bill of Rights protections and use military tribunals on them. It's a very, very dangerous assertion of power. It's basically an absolute, just a destruction of the Bill of Rights. So number four is, we will not obey orders to impose martial law or a state of emergency on a state. And there again, we look back to our history where, you know, Massachusetts was placed upon under the military command of General Gage, and it was during that martial law that the attempt at disarming the people led to the fighting. And so, you know, there's no such thing as a martial law in our Constitution. Because martial law is just the will of the commander. And so the Americans learned from the experience of being under General Gage, and they did not leave in our Constitution any kind of escape clause for the government to do whatever it wants. I mean, the closest thing is the habeas suspension clause, but that only allows for detention and only after an act of Congress, which is why it hasn't happened since. It hasn't happened since the World War, since the Civil War. In fact, I have a little bit of a story to tell you about that. When I was a student at Yale Law School, I once had dinner with three judges, three federal appellate judges, and two of them had just got done, just finished deciding.
Hold that thought.
Organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Dee's Laundry Service and Laundromats says most people don't realize how important they can be in protecting children from abduction. When you see a child objecting loudly while being taken from a park or playground, don't just assume that the adult is the parent. Look closely and think twice. Don't be afraid of getting involved. This important reminder brought to you courtesy of Gary, Diane, and the family and staff at Dee's Laundry Service and Laundromat at 815 East Platte Avenue in Fort Morgan. Call 867-8303. That's 970-867-8303. They're on the air because they care.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable goods. WolfAutoGroup.com. Local number 303-931-9096. Talk to Mr. Wolf personally for the best location to serve you. Thank you.
Yeah, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and I guess this morning, Stuart Rhodes of the Oath Keeper Organization. And before we go on, would you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your organization?